Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mom of six. Hey, homeschoolers. Today's show title is How to Be a Hands-Free Homeschooler. We usually talk about hands-on teaching, so the title may be surprising. I'll explain in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to talk about a fall freebie I think you'll love that's available on my blog. I've written funny fall writing prompts that are appropriate for all ages. Using humor really encourages kids to write. If you have younger kids, I think you'll love the printable pages I make available to subscribers. I've included colorful artwork, handwriting lines, and some of the text to make it easy for beginning writers. You can find the link to these writing prompts in the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/hands-free. It's time for the teaching tip of the week. One of the best parts of homeschooling for me is learning along with my kids. A subject I have long wanted to study is music history. That's why I was thrilled to review Gina Mayo's 21 Lessons in 20th Century Music Appreciation. My kids and I do one short lesson every Friday. I have learned so much about contemporary musical genres. Even if I wasn't a homeschool mom, I would do these lessons. The bonus is exposing my kids to different musical styles is motivating to them as musicians. You can get a free lesson to try through my link in today's show notes. I think you and your kids will love it. This week's organized homeschool challenge is the freezer cooking challenge. There are few sanity savers with more impact than having homemade meals in the freezer. The problem is getting them there. This week, we'll take on that challenge so you can have more stress-free nights this fall. Let's get cooking. Step number one, decide on an approach. When we think of freezer cooking, we tend to think of it as an exhausting marathon. And it absolutely can be one. I have spent hours shopping one day and another day on my feet cooking. I have had the problem of not liking the recipes. Be sure to see the meal planning challenge or my free meal planning ebook for how to fix this. Or of being downright phobic of ever repeating the process again. Fortunately, there is another way. Just as you don't have to go from the couch to marathon running, you can start off slowly when it comes to freezer cooking. The simplest approach? Make a double batch of a favorite freezable meal and pop it right into the freezer. I love it. Unless you do this a lot, you don't even need a lot of freezer space. As you get comfortable, you can freeze more of the same meal. At one point, I was making 8 batches of one dish a week, something I could never do now that I have teenage boys. Or you could freeze a smaller number of meals, often made for the same cooking approach, like the crock pot, or using the same kind of meat. Yet another alternative is to work with a friend, either to assemble the meals together or to make different options and exchange. I've talked about doing this many times, but haven't. If you have, I'd love to hear what you think. If you're not sure where to start, I encourage you to start with doubling once a week and work up from there. Step number two, choose recipes and create a shopping list. If you're going to use a pre-made plan with recipes and a shopping list, this part will be easy. But remember how much time and money could be wasted if you don't like the recipes. Even if you double a new recipe, it will be disappointing if you hate it. I will say that I have been very happy with the freezer cooking plans from Saving Dinner, but we're all different. If you're going to make your own favorites for the freezer, consider meals you like having regularly or meals that require more preparation. I always freeze homemade lasagna because it does take more time. Then I can either enjoy it another night or I have a perfect meal to bless someone else with. If you're not sure if something you like would freeze well, consult the link that I've put in the show notes for this episode. Once you have your recipes, you'll need to create a shopping list. Be sure to include freezer bags or freezer containers for your meals. There are a number of options for creating that list, including good old-fashioned paper, but I am in awe of the new option available at Plan to Eat. Plan to Eat will not only generate a shopping list for you based on the recipe you're making, but will keep track of how many of the same freezer meal you've planned on the calendar. Check it out. Step number 3, shop and prep. If you're going to do a marathon freezer cooking session, you'll need extra time to shop and possibly some help, depending on the size of your family. If you're just going to double up on a meal, you'll be able to do your regular weekly shopping with no problem. On Plan to Eat, if you just want to make 2 batches of a recipe, just double the servings and your list will be updated in turn. Even if you aren't freezer cooking, it's a great idea to prep for the week's meals when you get home from the store. Get fruits and veggies in ready-to-eat shape. Brown hamburger and put chicken in the oven. If you will be doing a big freezer cooking session, prepping items today will make it less likely that you'll collapse tomorrow. Step number 4, assemble your recipes. If you're doubling up on one recipe, this will be easy peasy. If you're doing a marathon session, you'll be thankful you set up everything you need in advance. Put out the measuring cups, markers, freezer bags, etc. I put on an apron and line plastic pitchers with freezer bags for assembly. It makes it so easy. If you have kids who are old enough to help, let them. If not, and you're prepping a lot of meals, see if you can get childcare help. I've asked my husband to take the kids out for fun with him when they were younger. It worked great. One more thing. If you're going to do an all-day cooking session, make sure to wear good, supportive shoes. If you've ever done it, you know why. Happy organizing. Now for today's topic. What does it mean to be a hands-free homeschool mom? I recently received the book, Hands-Free Life, 9 Habits for Overcoming Distraction, Living Better, and Loving More by Rachel Macy Stafford. I didn't remember ordering it, but it turns out I needed it. I have to say I shed more than a few tears reading through the first couple of chapters. I highly recommend reading the book and reading about all 9 habits, but I have 3 suggestions from the book for us today. I say us because I need these suggestions more than anyone. First, look up. I absolutely love what technology allows me to do. I wouldn't even be speaking to you via Periscope or podcast without it. I love researching any topic within seconds, connecting with people from all over the globe, and the calendar alerts that keep me from forgetting appointments. But I have to admit that I spend a lot of my time looking down at my phone or straight at my computer monitor. Before I continue, I want to be clear about something. It's so important for homeschool moms to have breaks. It's vital for us to stay connected to our support system. I would be the last person to advocate eliminating online time. My life has been so enriched by what I've learned and by the people I've met in the digital space. I also want to say that I'm not saying you're spending too much of your time looking down or into a screen. Maybe you aren't. If not, I'm glad. But if, like me, you wonder what you're not seeing because of all the times you don't look up, stick with me. There has been a significant increase in the number of injuries incurred by pedestrians because they weren't looking where they were going. They were looking down at their phone. But maybe that isn't the only kind of injury we're experiencing. Are we hurting ourselves by not looking around at the wonder of God's creation? Are we creating regrets that we didn't watch our little ones playing and growing? My daughter keeps saying, "Mom, watch me. Watch me. Watch me." Why does she automatically repeat it? There is an excellent video called Look Up that I will have in today's show notes that will help you, like it did me, to see that I'm missing something vitally important by spending so much time looking at a screen. If you're convinced you need to look up, here's how. Create boundaries around screen time. Don't have your phone with you at mealtimes. Mute your phone during school hours. Limit your recreational time to certain hours of the day and ask your family to help hold you accountable. If you really want to be radical, don't look at your phone the next time you're waiting for your child at a homeschool class or sports practice. Talk to the people around you instead. Sitting next to you may be a lonely homeschool mom who is just dying to connect. My second suggestion for us today is to listen. When I started reading Hands Free Life, I had to admit something. My husband had been saying the same thing to me over and over again. "I told you that. You weren't listening." He was right. Often I continued to type something on the computer as he spoke. Even if I had no screen in front of me, I was thinking about the screen, what I was going to write, what I was going to say. I wasn't hearing him. I hadn't noticed the problem as much with my kids, but one thing I had noticed, my oldest son with the strong personality was undaunted by my failure to look up when he wanted to talk to me. He would talk and talk and talk until I finally stopped what I was doing and gave him my full attention. And so I wondered, have my quieter children just stopped trying? You would think I would be a great listener as a psychologist, and I can be. But lately, I haven't chosen to be. The truth is, my failure to listen has extended even to my relationship with God. During devotional time, how often my thoughts go back to what I'm going to be doing online. I saw a mother practicing tennis with her daughter one day. She was on the phone with a friend, and whenever she said something to her daughter, it was critical. I was horrified. But am I any different? There are times when I am that mother. I was reading a story about Abraham Lincoln, who was in a cabinet meeting when his young son Tad barged in. Abraham stopped to talk with him as though he were the only person in the room. Now, I'm a mother of six. I know there are days when if you are asked one more question or are interrupted one more time, you know you're going to lose it. But here are my suggestions for listening more. Create boundaries around your personal time. There are times when you do need to be alone to talk or get some work done. You can teach your kids to respect those times. But the only way they will respect those times is if you put them first. Play with your little guy for a set time and then say, "Okay, it's mommy's time to work now, and it's your time to play with Legos." The younger your child, the shorter the time you can expect to be undisturbed. Consider having an older child help you with youngers, or hire a mother's helper. Paying for that time will help you to take it more seriously. Mothers of older children, like me, can be convinced that our children don't need us to listen to them as much, but it simply isn't true. Put time with individual children on the calendar and commit to it. If you have many children, like I do, don't stress yourself out by thinking that you have to have individual time with every child every day. You don't. Instead of trying to do more than what your children expect, ask your kids what would mean the most. You may be surprised to learn what your child really wants. You may also be surprised by the behavior problems that decrease when you listen more. In the same way, make time to really listen to your spouse. Make him feel like he is the only person in the room by putting the phone down and not interrupting him to attend to the kids unless it is absolutely necessary. My third and final suggestion is to let go. If you've hung with me this far and you don't really have a problem with screen time, this suggestion may apply to you. Most of us started homeschooling because we wanted more control over our kids' education and upbringing. I'm glad I took control of that part of my children's lives. But there's another side to control. Control can be fed by fear and pride. I discussed my own fears in the episode called What to Do When Your Child Wants to Go to School. My fear led to my using more and more control over my son. I wanted to keep him away from ideas and people that could potentially take him away from me and God. My pride also led to more control. I wanted to look like a good homeschooling mom, so that meant my son needed to do exactly what I wanted him to do. That's a serious issue. But control can also keep our kids from taking on more responsibility. If we don't let them try something new, like cooking, because we can't stand to see them make a mistake, we aren't being hands-free mamas. Having a permit driver will teach you how much control you are exercising in this area. Believe me. I'm not suggesting that we let our children go places and do things that are dangerous. But I am suggesting that we need to let go of enough control so that they can make mistakes while we are there to help them clean up the mess. The final thing we need to let go of is guilt. If anything I've shared today has left you feeling guilty, I want you to let it go right now. Guilt does our children no favors. One of the miracles of being a Christian is that I can ask for forgiveness and start fresh. You can too. Our families will remember how we are with them going forward much more than any past mistakes we've made. My Periscope viewers also made these suggestions. Jana, mom of three, wisely reminds us to make sure we have our priorities in order. Jenny at conversaving.com suggests having a media-free hour in the evening or doing media-free Mondays. She also mentioned putting your phone on vibrate for date nights. Linda Lee at LL at Heart alternatively suggests saving social media for the evenings. She said that if she starts it in the morning, it's hard to stop. Mandy of Worshipful Livin' recommends taking less pictures and making more memories. And Stacia at Stacia Wagon suggests letting our kids make as many choices as possible. Thanks so much to my Periscope viewers for their help. If you'd like to join us live, follow Psycho with Six on Periscope and join the broadcast on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Central Time. You can find the show notes for this episode at homeschoolsanity.com/hands-free. Today's action steps are look up, listen, and let go. If you have a homeschool headache you'd like me to address on the show, email me at psychowith6@gmail.com. Next week, we'll talk about how you can homeschool high school. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.